Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
It's Monday, so of course we have more baseball talk coming up. Joining us as he does every Monday, Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher in his spring training. It's now in full swing. Before you know it, the beginning of the regular season is going to be here, and there's a lot of exciting storylines floating around. A lot of abstract conversations to be had as well, so we're going to touch on both of those. Bill, it's always a pleasure to get you back on. I appreciate the time again.
Yeah, and just like you said, spring training is in full bloom, and a lot of teams starting to cut players that have come up in the beginning of spring, and now that the minor league spring training is in full bloom too, so there's more time for them to play down there, and they're probably getting rid of most of the guys that can't make that club out of spring training, and they got to start checking into the minor leagues, because the minor leagues are starting to play games as well as B games, so their rosters are going to be influenced by everything at the big league level.
Yeah, last week you and I did talk about some of the prospects that have caught our eyes, some guys that I had made mention that fans should probably pay attention to, specifically in the National League, and I know you gave us a couple within the Giants organization. Outside of the prospects, let's talk about the guys, the household names, right? Who in your mind has been overly impressive household name-wise in spring training for the Bigs right now?
Well, you know, yesterday the Giants played the Mariners. Carlos Gonzalez started in right field. That surprised me. I never saw that name. Of course, big-time Rocky. I did not see him sign for Seattle, and he played very well. Still got a cannon for an arm. That's a possibility with the Mariners. I go back to the Giants. Darren Ruff, a guy that played in Korea baseball the last 3 years, hitting over 30 home runs. Of course, he started with the Phillies, played a little bit with the Dodgers. He's just having an exceptional camp with the Giants, hitting over 450. Guys like that, I look at some other names, you know, bouncing around, some of the new players on new teams, and some of the free agents are starting to play a little bit more now with your big league club. So who do you see in your eyes?
You know, I was having this conversation with a couple of buddies over the weekend, and so I really started paying attention to closers because, Bill, in the National League, when you think about elite closers, there really isn't many. Based off of performances last season, you had Kirby Yates, and then you had everyone else. I mean, really, closer is a very interesting position in the National League. And so I really started paying attention to that particular position over the weekend. And I'll tell you, one person in particular that I believe is going to have a bounce back year, I think it's Kenley Jansen. He has looked a lot better this past spring training. It's obviously one of those instances where I don't know that he can be trusted, at least early on in the season. But that closer position is so vital in the National League. I think you have Yates, and if Jansen has a bounce-back season, maybe him. I paid attention to him in spring training, and he looks pretty good.
You know, I agree with you there, too. And I remember last year we were talking about Jansen having some health issues, heart issues and things like that, where he had to be dialed back a little bit. Looked a little thinner. I saw him on a game on MLB Network, looked a little thinner. Maybe that had a little process to it, but I see him bouncing back with that Dodger team. I'm right there with you with the closer in the position in the bullpen. There really isn't names flowing. There's a lot of people that are getting opportunities, and of course I'm going to reflect back to the Giants. They lost Will Smith. They don't have a closer right now, so they're going closer by committee, and I think that's what you're going to see in some of these clubs, because they're using different people in different scenarios. Plus the three hitter rule comes into effect for a reliever, so I'm just going to see how this translates as spring training keeps moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, really, again, in speaking of the National League, I think this is a position that isn't really worrisome in the American League, but in the National League, I mean, Rozel Iglesias from the Reds, last year, yeah, he had 34 saves, but when you take a deeper look at his statistics, I think he had a 4-1 ERA. That's not outstanding. Another guy that I think you and I will get familiar with in the National League West, maybe Archie Bradley out of Arizona. Josh Hader, of course, is going to be in the conversation. That's just a really interesting position, especially with the amount of offense that we now sits in the National League.
I agree with you again. I think the offense is really going to play a big role in that bullpen. And then you can also look at starting pitchers that are only going to go 3-4 innings. And then you've got a middle guy now, as we start calling him the bridge reliever, to try to get the middle innings, the 4th, 5th innings into the bullpen. So that 13-man pitching staff, that's what you're going to see in most of these teams. As we go to 26 players, the most you can have is 13. And I think every team's going to come out of spring training with 13 pitchers. And I think that's going to really rely on what kind of starting pitchers you're going to have. Are you going to have some young arms in that 4th and 5th spot where you need that bridge reliever all the time? And how long are these starters going to go? How long is a Samardzija or a Cueto going to go? Can you depend on them going 5, 6, maybe 7 innings? Complete games? Seems they're going to be oblivious.
I agree. And you bring up guys like Cueto and Samardzija. I think this kind of goes across the entire National League when you look at the pitching rotation, not even the starters, but even what comes out of the bullpen. You're going to have a lot of 3 and 4 starters that I believe are going to have to be relied on to grab that quality start. And for those who are unaware of that statistic, a quality start, it's 6 innings, giving up 3 earned runs or less, right? And to me, that's an even more telling stat than picking up a win. I mean, if you can get 6 innings out of a starter, it's tough stat to come by, but it's those 3, 4, and 5 guys in the rotation in the National League. That's another interesting stat to pay attention to this year.
It is, and that's why I think you're going to break with 13 starters. You know, you got guys only throwing in their 60s of pitches right now, and you still got a couple weeks, maybe a little more left. So you'll probably amp up to about 80 pitches, maybe 90 pitches. Some guys may be pushed to 100 pitches, but they're really watching the pitch count a little bit more each year than how many innings each guy throws. And we look at all your starts from the main guys too, Scherzer, Kershaw. They're really under the microscope to make sure that those guys are solid for 60 pitches, 70 pitches, and they're going to build arm strength as well as how many innings they get to go. I don't think they're really going to rely on innings. I think it's going to be based on what you're throwing, spin rate, breaking ball, off speed, and that's all going to translate through your analytics each start.
Again, Bill Lasky, our guest right now as we talk Major League Baseball. Bill, let's move to the business side here for a moment. Last week, it came out that Christian Yelich got his $215 million 9-year extension with the Milwaukee Brewers. And I don't think anyone would argue that that was well-deserved. I mean, when you talk about the top 5 players in baseball, you have to include Christian Yelich, who may be one of the best all-around, if not the best all-around player in the game. And I'm not sure if you saw this today, but the logistics of that contract were finally released. The Brewers are going to be paying Yelich until 2042. Okay, he'll be 50 years old when that contract runs out. They're deferring money, right? So it's similar to what the Mets gave Bobby Bonilla all those years ago, right? And the business aspect of the game fascinates me. And as these contracts continue to grow, 215, 300 million, 400 million, I think this is going to be more of a common trend. I'm curious as to your thoughts on this deal. I wasn't sure if you saw this yet.
I did see it, and the first thing I thought was Bobby Bonilla. Of course, he gets $1 million every July 1st, and he's still got a few more years to do it. And one of the first deferred contracts in my era when you were playing baseball to get something like that. I just think in a point of the business world, you know, it's great for Yelich. He's set for life, and there's no doubt controlling the money aspect and the taxes. But at the same time, I still look at the big contracts. I think you're only going to get a handful of guys that are going to be like that. The superstar guys, the one or two names off every team that are going to get big contracts. And then it's going to drop considerable. I mean, we're looking at free agents this year only getting, and I say only, $5-6 million a year. You know, some of the guys just never even got good contracts coming out as a free agent. You know, we look at all the things that happened a couple of years ago about the draft picks you're losing, and guys didn't get signed because of it, because the teams wanted those draft picks. And then, sure enough, last year, as soon as the draft was done, you saw some guys sign, and this year I saw them sign a little quicker. So I don't think you're going to have big contracts. I just think those big contracts are going to be for maybe 5-10% of Major League Baseball. Everybody else is going to be defined every year on analytics and age.
And really, one signing like this can kind of set the market. It is a copycat league. And really, I'm curious to see how this contract affects 2021. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but when you look at the free agents coming up in 2021, Mookie Betts, JT Realmuto, I believe Trevor Bauer, George Springer, Marcus Stroman, DJ LeMahieu, these guys are all going to be free agents in 2021. And with teams becoming obsessed with the luxury tax, I think deferred money may be something we see more of as these contracts continue to hit that $200 million range.
And it's always the first guy, just like you say, Yelich. You know, we saw so many Gerrit Cole contracts this year, big money, you know, and nothing really deferred. But I think he's looking down the road. It's a smart move in the logic of, what if I get hurt? What if something happens and my baseball career is over? Christian Yelich is one of the top players in the game, and he is taking the first step forward and saying, hey, I want to be with the Brewers the rest of my career, for one, and now you're solidifying me with this long-term contract. Again, the numbers kind of shake my head. The same thing, I go back with Madison Bumgarner signing an $85 million deal, and he's only getting so much this year, which really surprised me. I think it's like $4 or $5 million he took his first year way back to give them more opportunity to go get players, and of course they did. They got Marte from the Pirates. So it is something new, and we're going to probably see it more in free agents. These agents are being creative. And being creative, it makes the business people look at it and go, hey, we still have some money under luxury tax to go get some other players. So I think Yelich is doing that for the Brewers to try to solidify, go and get some more bigger players, better players, and see if we can make a run to the World Series. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. And like you said, the free agent market's going to be totally different each year with some of the players coming out. And next year, there's going to be some really top players hitting the free agent market.
Bill Lasky, last question before I let you go. I have to get your thoughts on this. I read a very interesting article, an interview with Barry Bonds over the weekend with The Athletic. And look, I can't think of anybody else I'd rather talk about this particular topic with than you. He made the quote of saying he feels that Major League Baseball has given him the death sentence. I do believe that Barry Bonds has a strong chance of getting into the Hall of Fame. He's got two or three more, I think 2022. Is the final year that he's on the Hall of Fame ballot. He needs to up his percentage by about 15%, which tells me that the voters are coming around. But when Barry Bonds says that baseball gave him a death sentence, for someone that's around the Giants organization and the game of baseball like you, is that 100% accurate?
Well, Andrew Baggerly wrote that, and he's one of the greatest reporters I've seen here in the last 10 years. He's a fantastic writer, very close to a lot of players, and he said in that article, when you're reading, he just wanted to sit down for 10 to 15 minutes to talk to Barry Bonds, and he sat with him for 2 hours. And some of the things that Barry talked about was, you know, he wished he could go back and talk to reporters and be more cordial to the reporters back in the day when he shut them off. He didn't want to talk to them. He had an attitude to reporters. He had an attitude to the people. And now he's realizing I was wrong, and it's coming back to him. When you're seeing Alex Rodriguez on every commercial possible with MLB and some of the other players that were good players. But I just think he thinks the stranglehold has definitely got around him. And of course, with the Peds and all the other things that were related to his career, same thing with Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, the head, the four-headed, you know, top players that really aren't in the Hall of Fame because of it. And I think he's just realizing that it could hurt him. And the more he's talking about it, you're starting to hear the real Barry Bonds come out of him. And I think he realizes that he did the wrong thing about shunning a lot of these people now that he's trying to get their vote to get in the Hall of Fame. And a lot of them are still looking back of the player and the attitude that he had when he played, the arrogance. And he never really talked to too many people. He kept to himself. And then when you did talk to him, he gave you the one or two sentences. So it was a very good article written by Andrew Baggerly. If anybody gets The Athletic, please read it. Barry Bonds really did come from his heart, and he really spoke about what he did wrong and what he did right. And he's saying, I live between the lines, from right field line, left field line. I played my heart out, and now it looks like I had to do different off the field, and that's what's hurting him right now.
Yeah, real. I mean, I did a study on apologia tactics when I was in college, and it focused on athletes. Okay, and but at that point in time, we didn't have all this information on Alex Rodriguez today, but it's something that I pay attention to regularly. And Barry Bonds did the complete opposite of, say, an Alex Rodriguez. And look, he's one of the most, A-Rod is one of the most likable figures in professional sports. And there are two athletes that I can actually pinpoint as saying they did their image repair tactics perfectly to a T. One is no longer here, and it was a completely different situation, but that was Kobe Bryant. The second is Alex Rodriguez. Barry Bonds did exactly the opposite of those two. Again, two completely different avenues. Kobe's instance was a little bit different than A-Rod's, but Bill, when you look at how those two repaired their image, it's textbook for any athlete that goes through some sort of turmoil that's going to affect them dollar-wise in endorsements, or maybe even love-wise when it comes to the media and shared voting, such as the Hall of Fame.
I agree, and the media does play a big part of it, and the media destroyed Barry Bonds. They didn't write nice things about it. They didn't write about how great he is as a person because he didn't let it out. He kept himself, and everybody that I know, and this is including myself, that know Barry. Barry's got a heart of gold, but he doesn't want to show that image. Now that the game is hurting him from the media side, now he's trying to repair it by apologizing and saying, I was wrong. But sometimes too wrong, too late, you know, and I think that could be it. But you said it as well as I do. I think he's still got a shot to get in. I think the percentages might come up a little bit more, and it's getting down to the deadline, and we're just going to see how he is. He's in spring training, working with the hitters, understanding how analytics work, understanding how new training is for the hitters and working in the cages. He says, I stand there and just watch and listen because it's a whole different way of hitting. He's a different type of hitter. He learned old school, and he says, when I start teaching old school, it's totally different what they're trying to teach now. So the game's changing. Look at Barry Bonds hasn't been out of the game but 10 years or so, and the game is changing. Players are changing. Swing paths are changing, and it's all as we get closer to spring training. We're going to see if all this concludes and see what kind of teams come out of spring training and see who are going to be the contenders right off the bat and who are the pretenders and who's going to be on the basement of some of these divisions. But you and I will be talking about it all year. I'm excited again to visit with you every Monday. And as spring training gets closer, we're going to see how many of these top teams are going to lose players with injuries too. And we haven't even touched base on that. There's been some key players that have injuries, and we're going to see how these teams can translate either to a late trade or the waiver wire or how they're going to build their team. So looking forward to it, my friend. Another good year with you, and we'll see how the NL West, as we always follow, will come to fashion if anybody's going to be able to beat the Dodgers.
That's Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. Follow him on Twitter, at Lasky19. Bill, I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again for the time today. Can't wait to do it again next week.
Yep, always. And hello to your fans and your fan base. Looking forward to another good MLB season with you.
Definitely. Again, former Major League Baseball pitcher Bill Lasky taking out the time to join us here on the show. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM live from the Auto Farm Studios.